Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Believe it or not, they're actually trying to take duty out of some of our monuments and our places. It's just it's crazy out there. But before we go there, today is Monday. It's March 25th, 2024, and Easter is right around the corner. It's next Sunday. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, the meaning of Easter. We're going to talk about how our culture has sort of destroyed the meaning, how our culture has lost its way, well, basically, why would God bless America with what we have become? So, but before we get there, first off, let's go ahead and start with the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And with all of that being said, you know what I'm going to say. I love my country. It's my government I am afraid of. And what I've seen happen the last week only makes me more afraid of it. So if you're paying attention out there, you must be a little bit concerned about what's happening. I'm going to give just a couple of quick updates here before we get into the nitty-gritty of Easter and our culture and where does it lead us and what we need to do to change our ways. Excuse me. And so a couple of things that have really happened this week that are just crazy, like the GOP and the spending bill. And then there's a couple of Republicans who are threatening rhinos that Gallagher, I think, is one of them. They're going to now leave the House. They're going to resign before the term is over. And then I think there was another one, too. And they're trying to cripple the House so that they have nothing. And not that Speaker Johnson's doing a lot with what they did have, the options that they did have. And I, for one, think that they should have shut the government down. But the garbage they put in this other bill, and we'll talk more next week and what happened with this bill. And we're protecting the borders of Jordan, but we can't protect our own borders. And then the stuff with the LGBTQ, whatever, and it's so despicable. And why Speaker Johnson felt the need to go along with this stuff, I don't get it. I just don't get it. And I don't get. Was it something like over 100 Republicans voted for this garbage? The Republicans and the Democrats, and then a few true conservative, fiscal conservative Republicans went against it. It's so insane. And nothing was done for the border, which I have to mention, too. The other, to see that massive illegal men, from everything I could see, there were no women and no children in that invasion, the surge at the border, they literally just run over the National Guard. The National Guard has to stand there. They can't defend themselves. We can't kill our enemies. We just have to let them come in. We're just there for puppets. We're not there to do anything. It's so disgusting. And what does it truly say about the culture of this country? What does it mean? It's just it's a very, very sad state of affairs. And what happens to the future of this country with a culture that is already decaying, and now we've allowed all this influx of illegal invaders, alien invaders, to come in. And, you know, it was kind of who don't have any respect for our laws, they don't have any respect for our God, they don't have any respect for anything we do. And then it's like, and, you know, it's kind of interesting. Now we have the Haitians that are supposed to be flooding, coming into Florida. And the talk is about moving these people, especially when you think of New York or whatever. And it's all part of the game, too. It's almost like you're helping them if you go and do that. It's almost like you're helping if you go and relocate all these illegals to California and New York and wherever else, because then they take the census and they count the illegals, too. So then the census, the illegals being counted as part of the census gives them more representatives in the House and that type of thing. So it's all very disgusting. It's just, it's evil. Like we talked about last week, it's evil. It's evilness. The other thing I wanted to make sure I kind of mentioned here, let's see. The last week we had, I encouraged everybody to join the Defend Florida meeting on Tuesday, and I would encourage you to do it again tomorrow. It was interesting last week, and Karen may chime in on this in a few minutes or whatever, but they finally said out loud, we did everything we were supposed to, and they still ignored us. We put the information together. We did all this. We did that. We wrapped the meetings. Da, 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 everything. We did it the right way, the civilized way, and nothing happened. They play the game. They act like they're pandering to you. It's like, oh yeah, that's really good. Okay, yeah, I'll sponsor it. I know no one's going to sponsor it in the Senate, so nothing's going to happen. And this is the state of Florida. For those who might not be familiar with what I'm talking about, but anyway, it's a game these people play, and it's all for their own benefit. It's just you get very, very few true representatives or statesmen out there that truly are working on behalf of the people. They're working on behalf of themselves. And so they played this game, and now it's like, okay, since we see these people for who they truly are, we see their true colors, a combination of trying to shame them and also to replace them. We need to replace the rhino, anti-American, whatever you want to call it, the Democrats who are elected as Republicans, the communists. We need to get rid of these people, and we need to replace them. But replacing them with the America First people is going to be difficult because the incumbents have this money. They've already got these alliances, they're networking, et cetera, excuse me. And so we're working on some plans to do this. But it's going to be very difficult, and so there's some things we're talking about, the postcard campaign and what we can do to try to overcome some of this. So I would encourage people to listen tomorrow. Join the call, and other states, they have similar groups. It's going to be totally up to us to derail some of the corruption in public office today. It's just the way it is. Excuse me, as disappointing and frustrating as that can be. But, I mean, I believe the conversation we have on Tuesdays, it's helping to educate people who are ready to do something, who are doing what's supposed to be done, the right thing, how you're supposed to follow the process, and then you see that the process truly is broke, and now it's the same people who were doing that who have to come together and really push out there to get these people out of office and get the right people in. But we also have to face the fact that I've talked about doing the sign wavings and doing things that will get some media coverage and stuff like that, and for some reason people don't want to quite do that. But you have to do something like that. You can't – I mean, the other things are all good, but you got to reach people while they're stuck in traffic. I've done many sign wavings at major corner intersections during rush hour traffic because you can hand out flyers and they get the message, they'll ask questions. It's amazing how much you can get done when people are stuck at a traffic light. You can communicate. So we got to work on it, and I would encourage people to join the call and see, because they go over a lot of information. It's a meeting. It's not a talk show. It's a meeting to say, here's what we've done. Here's what happened. Here's why it didn't work. Here's what we have to do now. We have to continue to move forward. We cannot stop here, especially after you see the insanity of with this last spending bill. The Republicans, and next week we'll talk more about that spending bill and some of the garbage in it. And I want people to explain to me where Michael Johnson's coming from. Is he really this feeling so constrained where he can't do anything else? Are they so afraid of a government shutdown? And that's the other part. This is where I keep thinking people, they're not seeking strength from a higher authority, that's for sure, because they keep caving in to the evil ways of this other group, the ones who are trying to destroy this country. They're caving in to allowing and promoting the ongoing, continuing invasion of this country. I was listening to Chip Roy, and there's a group of them out there who really blast them for what they did. Everything you just said you were doing, this bill is going to undo everything you just said. It's going to undo it. I mean, you got to listen to Chip Roy to truly appreciate his passion and his frustration out there. And we need more of him out there. We need more of those that will push back. and there's just not enough of them, but it's going to be up to us to try to help to get rid of the rhino anti-Americans that are in office today, regardless of what party affiliation they have, and get people in there who truly, genuinely believe in this country. So with all of that being said, we're going to get started on the Easter, the true meaning of Easter, how we've managed to totally twist it, and what's happening in our own country, and what's going to happen if we don't change the way we're doing it. I guess I better mention one other thing real quick. Rick Scott is doing something or co-sponsoring the bill to shut down or get us demand or ensure that we have the Congress passes the WHO, the World Health Organization treaties, trying to block the other insanity going on there. I think that's important. I better make sure everybody knows that. And we'll talk more about that next week, too. We might have some time to get into some of that a little bit later on. But I want to make sure we talk about what Easter really means. And I do find it interesting. We have a resurrection, and then we're all just in discussion about an insurrection. Resurrection and insurrection. And what is it going to take to save this country? What is it going to take? If we allow the culture to be totally destroyed, what our core foundations and our beliefs are to be destroyed, where do we go from here? And it was interesting. I've gone back over and been looking at, like, with Washington and some of the founders, and then their beliefs. And there's some quotes out there. I don't know if we'll have time to get into that and if I can even track them back down. But it really is amazing when you go back and you see this. Now, maybe it's all fake. Maybe none of it means anything. Maybe somebody was writing this 2 years ago, wrote all these things and said it was their quotes. I don't think that's the case in all of them. But there are some that play games out there. But when you go back and you look at the history, there were people of true beliefs and the role that religion and morality played in a free society. How can you be a free society if you have no value or appreciation for life? You're willing to destroy it whenever anybody asks, or you want a pack of gum and you can't donate any money, so you just go steal it, and if you have to knock a few people over to get there, then you do it. The lady who's the squatters took over her house, and she's the one who gets arrested. The insanity of it all. And what is it, and I guess that squatters thing, that's the perfect example is like, well, they're not home right now, so we'll steal, we'll take over their house, and then they will have to come make us move. They won't have to move. The person who bought the house, paid all the mortgage payments, who will have to continue to pay the mortgage payments while they fight to get their house back. There's something sick. It's evil and it's sick, but this is where we're at. So anyway, let me bring Dr. Charles Tolbert, God, I can't talk today, on here for him to talk about his books and also everything he does, how he is promoting a Christian society morality for us to get back to where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be believing, and more importantly is how the decline of our culture and our religious beliefs have happened over time and what it's doing to us. And with that being said, welcome Dr. Tolbert.
Thank you, Sally. I really appreciate it. And I'm just going to give you a little background before we get into the discussion of the resurrection. I have a PhD in philosophy and theology. I have written 3 books. The fourth one's in the publisher, Systematic Theology Through the Spiritual Eye, Volume 1, 2, and 3. And 4 is going to get into the hybrid school system and the structure. We're teaching in 45 countries, and we ask individuals to go to calltoduty.org and visit and just see where we're at and what we're doing. I'm also retired military. So today's the day the Lord had made, and it's a new beginning where people don't fully comprehend what it means. And first and foremost, we're going to remove the word Easter, and we're going to use the word resurrection. And we have to understand that the word Easter was used in Acts, but it was used as the Passover. So we can go into and learn different comments, and we can learn by different teaching. But what is the importance, and how do we share the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the model of our lives and how we follow so we can be raised into a new life? Our country, our people, and everybody we know We were therefore buried ourselves as he was, and we were buried because we didn't get born again in the time. In the Old Testament, we find that the Holy Spirit came upon you, but now the Holy Spirit dwells within you. So the resurrection is actually Jesus living as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is and would not be here if it had not been for the resurrection. So we have to understand the key words, hope, faith of the future, and a new beginning. It's an important doctrine that we understand that we have to face a new beginning, not only in the United States of America, but in 195 countries and territories. This is the teaching that I am doing now through 45 countries. These countries, as ourselves, has a new beginning. We celebrate the day of resurrection, and Christians, and joyous holiday. It's a new resurrection, a new beginning, because it represents the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament and the revelation of God's salvific plan for the humankind in commemorating the resurrection of Jesus. We also celebrate the defeat of death and the hope for salvation. Let's remove the word of hope and know that we will now receive salvation because of the resurrection. The importance and the research that I have done came and found that there were very important happenings in our Christian faith. These events were the trial of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and finally, of course, the resurrection. And remember, when he was put upon the cross on Friday, Good Friday, we will find that on Sunday, he was risen. And when he was risen, prisoners to his right and to his left. And there were people in purgatory. In purgatory, when he was resurrection, all the people in purgatory were removed and went up into the heavens. They were then recovered. And we have to know that the faith and the teaching that we do is the resurrection. Resurrection doesn't take just on Sunday, but it takes every day of our life believing and confirming. Yes, this Wednesday is the Last Supper, where Jesus sat down with 12, and they sat there and talked about different things, and one person turned against him. But it was turned against him on purpose by God in order for Jesus to become the one body and return back to him sitting at the right hand of God. The holiday that celebrates, we have an issue with because we use the word Easter. Easter is not the day we should be using with people. We're seeing major companies and organizations modifying the word resurrection in order to provide more income for themselves. The Easter clothing, the Easter work, all the Easter eggs, the Easter bunnies. This is making corporations, China, more money in order for them to have something that you don't have. You don't have the resurrection. The resurrection, being born again, is one of the key elements. The passion of Christ is what we should be celebrating. Service of the holiday that began on Ash Wednesday. We are born again. We don't remember our past life when we're born again because it's finished. Now we are going through the trials and tribulations of yesterday, but the preparation today is our agenda and our calling and what we've been done as we write the vision upon the wall. It's important that we understand every day that we write a vision because we're born again. Individuals that don't understand resurrection, understand the purpose behind it, are not going to be following what they should be doing in the book of Habakkuk, writing their vision, following God's word. I am born again. I will change the direction of yesterday, and I will become the new person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is pretty spoiled life that we had in the past, but our memories have to be removed. We have to be that one body of Christ, whether we're man, woman, children, adults. It is not relevant. There's no anything in the Bible taking you from who you are. The outside appearance is not relevant. What is relevant is the inside of the Holy Ghost. For we know that since Jesus was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the lives he lives to God. We have to understand we also have to live the life of God. We have to die in our past. In the book of the Bible, we will find that 6:6, the sign of man. The sign of man is the evilness in us before we become born again. We need to change that direction. We need to remove the sign of the devil from inside us. We too need to become born again. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who he has given us, you see, at just the right time. When we were still powerless, God died. Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. Well, are you ungodly today? Did he die for you? Can you be resurrected into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to celebrate the Lord Jesus as we open this new door on Wednesday at the Last Supper? And we see him being captured and walking into the corral and being taken prisoner. Are we going to see that resurrection on Sunday, that people want to use the word Easter, is going to be the actual day of your being born again? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your unconditional love. Thank you for showing us just how great your love is, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Father God. This is what we should be saying. Celebrate the true meaning of the resurrection with Bible verses, death, resurrection of Jesus. The ancient church prepared for 40 days to celebrate Christ's resurrection. And it's important that we take time to meditate on the true meaning. The word Easter, in parentheses, resurrection. To use these Bible verses and to bear and the resurrection accordingly. And of Jesus Christ to reflect on God's love for you. That he would send his son to die for our sins and rise Christ from the dead, so that if we believe, we shall be saved. Share the collection of Bible verses and understand as I will get into them. But the importance is that this week changed the world. The world can change this week. If we pray for the 195 countries, if we pray for the territories, if we change our direction in the United States of America, our 50 states and territories have reduced their belief in Christ. They have changed their true meaning. Less than 50% of Americans today are talking about Jesus and the new beginning, the fivefold ministry, where we have the apostleship and the teachers and the prophets and the pastors and the evangelists, where we have the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All this created by Jesus being put on the cross, and the reproduction and the rechanging of the Holy Spirit that came upon you but was not dwelling within you. I give you the time that when we look at the beginning of Palm Sunday, as Jesus publicly presented himself as the Messiah, that we concluded with his resurrection. But to rise from the dead, he first had to die. He died in the hands of the Roman soldiers at the behest of Jewish religious leaders. And he died not for one of us, but for all of us. He died to save us from our sins. The night before the Lord's crucifixion, there was no other Jesus shared the Passover meal with his disciples. A meal was known as history, the Last Supper. After the eight and Judas, the betrayer, still in the room, Jesus did something amazing. John 13:3-5. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he had to come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from the supper and laid his hands upon his garment. And having taken a towel, he girded himself about. Then he poured water into the basin and to begin to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. The Father has given all things into his hands. He had came forth from God, and he was going back to God. He was sitting at the right hand. knowing his identity as the only begotten Son of God, he took the garb of the servant's knelt before each of his disciples and washed their feet. He told them to treat one another as this kind of a human, humility and love and care. Are we doing that today? Are you born again? Are you willing to kneel and wash the feet of people unknown who are not understanding the word of Christ? Washing the feet is not a physical, but it's the belief that you have that they too can be saved by your talking and laying your hands. After a brief exchange with the Lord, Judas betrayed Jesus. Why did he leave and go to authorities if not preparing for the resurrection? We don't understand that Judas was called upon by God unknowingly to him to put Jesus upon the cross so that he would then leave as the flesh and become the third party of the Trinity. It is important that we put ourselves on trial and that we understand the begotten Son of Jesus and the grace and the glory of God. The Lord's disciples learned later that Jesus was put in the tomb. But what happened? In the tomb, there was a person standing there and looking and saying, Jesus is no longer inside, he told Mary. And over 500 people saw the face of the spirit that had converted himself, not only from the resurrection, but he physically put himself upon this earth again in the flesh. But what happens in the flesh when he's with the disciples? The spirit walks through the wall, showing who he truly was. He says, I also said after rising from the dead, he would leave the earth for a time. He did not say how long. During the teaching of the night before his crucifixion in John 14:2-3, Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may also be. Do you think that you can understand that Jesus left and came back and you can come to him and sit down in one body of Christ? Rest and ensure that joyfully tell everyone the good news. He has risen. He has risen. Indeed, he has risen. Do we understand what it means that he has been risen? Can we come together in one body? Why did the Holy Spirit come after Jesus or before? That when we get into reading John 16, that it sounds like that we didn't understand the Old Testament. And we discussed that many people that were only called upon in the Old Testament to accomplish tasks till the Holy Spirit came upon them. It was not indwelling within them. Do you know that you're now having the Holy Spirit and you haven't opened your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you opened your heart? Open your heart. Put your hands in the air. Kneel on the floor and say, God, I am now resurrected. I am born again. I am one body of Christ. I know that I have to be extremely important and answer the questions that God puts upon me as I unlock the doors because God allowed me to unlock the doors, the Holy Spirit. There is an importance of knowing how to open the door to Christ, how to change the way I feel and think. He was always on the earth through the Holy Spirit. He was always here at the beginning in the creation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the leadership and the grace and the glory of the Lord. In each case, the Lord came upon and did not dwell. Do you understand Sunday is the indwelling spirit of the Holy Ghost, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why are we repeating and restating and re-saying things accordingly? As we teach the word of God, we know, Father God, we have to come to this place and one body of Christ. It is important that God did not remove the spirit from him. This is an important point in 1 Samuel 16:13-14. We are told that the Holy Spirit come, my mighty God, David. And later we see this, that the Holy Spirit indwelled and came upon everyone. When we read the New Testament, we find that the Holy Spirit was also present during Jesus' ministry and helped him perform miracles and the cast of demons. The following table provides more viable information on how the Holy Spirit helped Christ during his ministry. This is an exciting time and place for us to know he lived his life as you and I would, as we did in the past. But we're now changing the direction. He is God without sin. Why he lived on this earth. He depended on the power of the Holy Spirit to do the ministry. This is a great spiritual insight. This should be the pattern of our Christian life. Dependence upon the Holy Spirit to work through us. Jesus is the example of human dependence. And we already seen the Holy Spirit was active in the earth. And we talk and teach daily about the importance and the grace and the glory of the Lord. Have we become born again before? Are you born again after? Do you understand the fullness and the indwelling of the Spirit? Who is our helper? Who is the one? The Holy Spirit is the one that is our helper. What did Jesus mean when he said the Holy Spirit would be coming, since he already is present? Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit coming in a different way. He was talking about that it would no longer come upon you, but would indwell within you. Do you know the importance of being born again and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ? How is a promise is not something that has not already happened, but sometimes that is coming, something that is in the future. Is it your future to be born again this Sunday? Will you understand he never leaves? And Ephesians 1:13-14, the proof or guarantee that we will be born again. This is an important blessing and a grace and a glory that we would see the Holy Spirit different than it was in the Old Testament. He made a promise to us, and we came and acted accordingly. How do we this day become born again? As we teach the scriptures and the grace and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 11:25-26, Jesus told after her resurrection, I'm alive in front of you. You can see me. I am in truly I am Jesus Christ, and I am a new body. In John 12:23-26, Jesus answered everyone, the hour has come that the Son of Man would be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will he be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Are you serving God? Have you changed the direction? Have you rethought about the importance of where you're at? And Romans 6:8-11. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being risen from the dead, death no more dominance over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in what he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed in sin, but alive. Do we understand that one day we will pass from this body and we will return into the heavenly spirit and sit in the grace and the glory of God? There is a time where creation was made and we existed in spirit. We then came as the creation was assembled and Mary and Adam were produced, and we saw the difference in the timing. And then there was a sin that was committed, and we then had to go through this. And then we saw the sin removed, and we saw the grace and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ come upon all of us. We need to change how we think and how we feel. In Romans 10:9, if we openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Understand, you have to take it into your heart. You have to believe that Jesus' resurrection that this is not the day of Easter, the day of the resurrection and becoming born again. In Matthew 28:2-7, suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from the heavens, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone into lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman, "Don't be afraid. I know you were looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying, and now go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead and is again ahead of you in Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." In Mark 15:37-39, "And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtains of the temple was torn into the bottom, and the centurions who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last and said, 'Truly, this man is the Son of God.'" In Mark 15:46-47, "And Joseph brought in Ben-Tron, and taking him down, wrapped him in a linen cloth." We find throughout the Bible the teaching on how this person, this man, this humanly Father of God changed into a born-again person. We have to understand that we too change our lives. We should not be frightened by our past. We should forget our past, and we should change the way we think and teach accordingly. The human that he reappeared under, the Philippians 2:8-11, will show us that the persons that were staked as criminals, one of them wanted to change the direction and became born again on the cross and the grace and the glory of God. In the book of Revelations 1:5-6, "And from Jesus Christ, he is the full witness to these things, for the first to rise from the dead and rule all the kings of the world, and the glory of him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shrouding his blood, by dying and passing over. He has made the kingdom a priest for God, his Father, and all glory." All of our pastors today, all of our people, and regardless of their religion, how many are going to take upon the fact that they too can become born again to the body of Christ? We celebrate and see what Good Friday, and we get into the Genesis 3:15, and he was crushed by the Spirit, and we see how different things took place and how he bore our sins under Isaiah 53:4-6. Surely there is pain. Surely there is suffering. But suffering is being removed, and he then heals us through his suffering. We are healed in the name of Jesus. My God," he said, "why have you forsaken me?" But he came to the understanding, "I will then be coming back as who I am." Even him in the body of flesh had questioned himself before he understood that he is now the one body of Christ. His wounds were healed. His body is healed. Christ died for us when we were powerless. You see, it is just the right time when we were still powerless. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely when anyone die from righteous sins, who for the good person, someone must possibly die and dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us at this. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Are you a sinner today, or can you change your entire direction? We know, Father God, there's a divine plan, and we know in these next 3 days, the grace and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ will come upon us as we see the newness of the Lord. God, don't forsaken me. God did not forsaken you. God has put you in place where you become born again, where you become the newness of the Lord Jesus Christ through the resurrection of the body of Christ. He gave up himself in order for you to come to the joy and the glory of God. For God so loved the world, he placed his son himself on this earth so he would return in the one body of Christ. It is important. We should not say Easter. We should say, "I am the resurrection and the life," under John 11:25-6. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live. Even though they die, ever lives by believing in me, will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe that your life will continue, whether you're here in the flesh or in the spirit? Are you willing to be born again to living hope? Praise to God and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in his great mercy. He has given us new birth into this living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Testify to the resurrection. With great power, the apostles continue to testify about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the God's grace and glory and the power of the Lord. One of the difficulties we face as we teach this day in the grace and the glory of the Lord God, I am born again. When you look at and sit down Wednesday and have your dinner and you think about the Last Supper, think about this as your Last Supper is not being born again. Think about Friday when sin was put to death. Think about Sunday when you become resurrected. When you meet people, you say, I am resurrected. Are you? Do you understand? I wish you a resurrected day. I change the way I think and feel. I know what I mean by being born again. I talk to the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace and the glory accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Sally.
Okay.
Amen.
Well, excellent information. Now, the other is to try to realizing what's happened to our culture. How do we try, me and other people, to get people back on the right path? What do we do? What's happened to our core foundation, our culture, and our beliefs, and how it's impacted us as a society and puts our country at risk? This is where I'm trying to get a little bit more of how do I reach out to these other people that seem to be determined to do harm to us. How do we change any of that? I mean, what is that process? I'm trying to figure out what we got to do to save this country, and I do believe we have to have core foundation, the belief, and go back to where we started in order to save this country. But how do we do that? I mean, I know you're doing a lot of work out there, but what for us individually, how can we reach out to people? How can we get a better handle on redirecting them, if we can, getting them to be born again, to do the right thing, to save our country, and to believe in what's good versus what's evil.
What you have to do, Sally, is first you have to stop thinking bad thoughts. You have to think about the positive side. I see so many people want to come against individuals for the way they speak, the way they talk, the way they look, the way they handle. They don't want to go to them and talk to them about Christ. They don't want to go to them talking about reborn. They want to talk about the negativism. We have capitalism. We have communism. We have socialism. And all these are coming against our Father God. And we have to go back into that we, and I am a no party affiliated, we have to get back into our teaching of the Constitution. We have to get back into our teaching. And book number two, we actually do this. We spend 600 pages teaching one thing, the interaction of the Bible and the Constitution and the relevancy of how we need to read the Constitution and find its ingredients in our Bible. If we're born again, and when we become born again, and we change the direction of our thought, and we do this with one person becomes 10, 10 becomes 100, 100 becomes 1,000, 1,000, 10,000, and it then accumulates. So if one person, and throughout the Bible, we see one person, I don't care if you want to talk about the disciples, if you want to talk about the apostleship of Paul, who wrote 80% of the New Testament, we can get into all these conversations. But I'm seeing so many people that are taking negative answers. I see people every day, every place I go, that if you talk about God, they get an attitude. I mean, why do you want to get an attitude and you call yourself a true believer? We need to think ourselves about how we, one individual, can talk positive, So when we go against a certain speaker or if we go against a certain thing, you come with a simple comment. I understand what you're saying. Let me tell you what I know. And even though there's a contradiction, it's okay to have a contradiction because each one of you will learn. There was a speaker on your show for a long time. And when that individual said something, I went and did homework. I did research. I did studying. I then sent it to the Supreme Court. I sent it to the Congress. So one word from one person changed my thoughts that I didn't have answers on. So we have to understand tonight that one word that I speak, whether it's the 30 minutes about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or if we get into the interference of the Constitution, or we talk about the 50 states and territories, or we look at the 195 countries, we have to know that you, Sally, and I, and people that are listening to this show tonight, whose name we won't talk about, they all come together in one body of Christ.
Well, I'll tell you something that I somewhat made jokes about it, but it's not really a joke, I guess, to try to deal with it. But there's these people who are elected into public office who take an oath to serve and to protect our rights and et cetera, uphold our Constitution and our Declaration. And then I see the things they do that, to me, are just pure evil. It's definitely a violation of everything they swore that they were going to do, and obviously a violation of any decent morality or Christian beliefs, some of these things they do. And I've made the comment many times over the years. It's like, I have a hard time. If I was to go to a church, a local church, go there, and I would see this one particular individual who was in public office at that time or even running or whatever it was, if I said, I was to see them there, and they're just there for a photo op. It's not because they believe in anything. The total disgust I would have, and that's part of it. I've been so disgusted with the church, which you and we've had this discussion on here before. Going to the church doesn't seem to be the right place anymore. And for me to go there and see this public official, so-called public servant, grandstanding, and yet I know what they have done in the background because I'm aware of some of the dealings they've had, is so evil. It's beyond me to even know how to deal with those kind of people. It just seems it's, and I'm like, are they going to go to heaven? Because they are doing so many, going to church, let's put it this way, going to church on Sunday does not make one a Christian. It does not make one holy. It does not make one good. And I my own personal belief is if you go there with a false pretense, don't try to pretend you're something you're not. Try to get votes because you went to church. Is the even more evil, and I think you have to do a heck of a lot more to repent and get into God's good graces. It's just, I find it just so disgusting when I see these people. We got a couple of people out there, Joe and Karen out there, ready to comment, but I'll let you comment on what I'm just saying. It's like, it's just, I have a hard time dealing with these people that I know are doing evil things while they go out there pretending. Now, when it comes to the Speaker Johnson, who from everything you hear is a very good Christian person, I can kind of say he's confused or lost or whatever in what he's doing. I don't know. I'm not really passing the judgment, and not my place to pass judgment on others, but when I know these other public elected public servants are doing other things that are so wrong and so harmful to us, and yet they stand there in this church acting like they're so holy, it disgusts me. And I try to figure out how I can deal with that. You want to make a quick comment on that, then I'll go to Joe, yeah, and then I'll go to Karen.
Yeah, I'd like to make two comments. One, Trump has all three volumes, and him and his wife have sent me letters of appreciation. And we've watched Trump talk about God a lot more today than he has in the past. The Speaker of the House also has volume three, which took him to the position of teaching him the Constitution. And we're not going to be judgmental over a person. We can find by their actions that they're either a true believer or not a true believer. Being in politics the way we are today is corruption. the two-party system is no longer divided. They are doing and working behind us, and they have violated the Constitution because they are corporations. A corporation has no authority to talk together without divulging what they have said in one place together. So under the Constitution, and we filed paperwork to the federal government, and we have papers on file in the legislation saying that our Democrats and Republicans have no authority as a corporation to have discussions without revealing everything they're doing. So there's a total violation of our Constitution. Our political parties today are not following the Constitution. We're finding that ministries today are taking positions of political parties. They're calling it a Republican, or they're calling it a Democrat. They're reinforcing it. That is not the responsibility of a ministry, to call in and do authority with or over political parties. The responsibility of a ministry is to talk about the inbreeding spirit of the Holy Ghost. They can get into the Constitution and the relevancy of the Constitution, but to pick an individual and say, I vote for him because I'm a Christian and he is a Christian, so let's vote for him. You know he's a Christian by his action. No one has to tell you who a Christian is. A Christian will show by his action or her actions and authority accordingly. Anyone that is not showing themselves and not acting accordingly with the belief and putting their hands in prayer, raising their hands up in the air, speaking with the words, I close the statement in God's name, amen, they're not true believers, Sally. So you go ahead from there.
Okay. Let me let Joe jump in and see what he's got to say, and then, like I say, Karen's out there waiting to join in too.
A little concerned when you mentioned purgatory. There's no such thing as purgatory in the Bible. So that's a Catholic doctrine from the church that's built on seven hills where the false prophet's going to rise out of, the Antichrist. And then I have a little bit of trouble with the apostle stuff, you know, I mean, because, you know, apostolic ascension, you know, when the last apostle was murdered, jailed, died, that was it. There's no more apostles. There's nobody that can heal anybody today. Nobody can lay hands, perform miracles, cast out devils and demons. Nobody can do that today. The apostles were the last that could do that, according to Scripture. And you mentioned Good Friday. There's no such thing as Good Friday. It was a bad Friday. Jesus was put to the cross on a Wednesday at 6 p.m., and then there's no such thing as Sunday, Easter Sunday. Easter is Osiris. That's a pagan holiday. So when you're saying Good Friday, the message was pretty good, we're supposed to come to Jesus Christ, and I agree with you about the Constitution and people in church not being voting for people, but like I said, some of those messages, though, that's false doctrine, you know? That's it.
Okay. Dr. Tolbert, any comment on that, or we can go to Karen next? Okay. Well, Dr. Tolbert, you're still there, right? If you're talking, you're on mute. We can't hear you. Okay, let's get Karen in here. Hey, Karen, how are you doing today?
Hello. I'm doing great, and it was very interesting what Dr. Tolbert had to say.
Sally, did I get hurt, or was I on mute?
You must have been on mute. Hold on just a second, Karen, so Dr. Tolbert can respond to what Joe was saying.
Yeah, let me just do that. I was on mute for some reason. I'm just going to go into the fact that the word purgatory is not physically on the Bible, although at the time of Jesus' rebirth and resurrection, there was talk about the people that removed from the graves and went up into the heavens. There's people that have different thoughts and talk about different things. I'm a non-denomination. I'm a five-fold ministry. I teach international. what you feel and what you think is where you're at. I will not contradict you, and I don't believe anyone should contradict another person that is speaking. I believe you should give your own thoughts, because God loves you for your thoughts and your way of talking. So let's go with the fact that God loves us.
That's not true. That's not true. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible preaches and teaches. That's not true at all. It's not you get to say what you want to say. That's not what the Bible teaches. No, that's not true at all, what you just said.
That's your thought, not mine.
No, it's not my thought. It's what the Bible says. That's written in the Bible. Well, you want to go verse by verse here, back and forth? Let's stick to the Bible. It's not your thoughts. It's not open for private interpretation here. The Bible means what it says and says what it means.
I'm not going to get in discussion with you. You go ahead and just talk all you want.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I'm just saying, though, but the Bible warns us of false teachers. So if you're not going to back up your theological points of view and have a biblical theological discussion to back up what you're saying verse by verse, what God's Word says, because Christians can do that, okay? Because we are to judge the smallest matters. We're going to be judging, the saints are going to be judging. Once you're saved, you become a saint. So if you're not going to back up what you're preaching, then I have to call it out for what it is. You know, I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm just trying to have a discussion here. And I'm trying to point out some things that you said that I have some questions about. You know, and then you just made a statement saying I can say whatever I want and we can all say what we want and that God loves that. That's not true. That's not true at all.
I totally agree that you have a total disagreement and you think that you know the Bible better than I. And I'm not going to argue against you on your scripture thoughts and knowledge. I know that you come from one direction no matter what we talk about. This show tonight is not about that. It's about the resurrection and Sunday and being born again. So I don't put it on my hands upon you that you too understand and become reborn and know the word of Jesus and the indwelling spirit as this show is about tonight.
Okay, so you're not interested in a discussion then about the Bible. Okay, so it's just what you say and that's it. Okay, all right, that's fine. If that's what you want, but that's a heretic. So the Bible says that very clearly. So, that's fine.
Joe,
I was open for discussion, not an argument.
Well, Joe, what I want to ask you, in the grand scheme of things, what Easter means to you, what we've done as a society and a culture, and how we've lost our way, and when you see how the Easter Bunny and all this other stuff and how we seem to have lost our way, what is your message to other Americans out there? What do we need to do to get back on track?
Easter is, it's pagan, and it's just, and there's a lot of, like we talk about, Sally, the New World Order, the globalist, the agenda. You know, there's influences, evil influences out there that are influencing us and perverting God's word and perverting our churches today. Like you said the churches are filled with hypocrites. Yeah, Jesus is outside the church knocking. He can't get in. He was talking about a resurrection. That's not, nobody got resurrected when Jesus, only Jesus ascended, went up and came back. Only Jesus returned. That was Jesus 3 days. He went to the cross 3 days and then came back. Okay, so what he's saying, when Jesus appeared in the flesh and had a spiritual body, that's true. Yeah, he appeared before 500 witnesses, more than that actually, that's seen him. Yeah, that's true. That's in the Bible. That's Testament. And people are watering down the word of God, and God's going to punish. God doesn't like that. You know, we can't be blessed. We killed 60 million plus of babies in this country. Do you expect God to bless America? You know, I mean, so that we're in trouble. We can't restore our republic without God. We can't do that. We have to have God, and we can't have everybody one happy religion, Muslims, gays, transvestites, everybody. Wait, we can all worship. We are the world, one world, right? No, God does not want that. No, we can bring people to Christ and preach to them and preach proper doctrine, historical, inspirational, and doctrinal. Those are three applications of Scripture, and if we apply that. And we stick to the true doctrine and what God's word really preaches, and not go off into these what we think, what I think, and what this person thinks. And if we come together and turn to God and repent, we can heal our land, and we can then restore our land and have a revival. But right now, we're not gonna. I don't think we're gonna save this world. God says it goes down. God says the world gets destroyed. It's over. All right. Until when the Lord comes back, he's going to set it right. God, when Jesus returns, he's going to set it right. Because right now, unless we repent, which God will give us a repeat. The Bible says that. He will heal the land if we repent. But right now, I don't see it because the prophecy also foretells that we're in the end days. You know, it's game over. So, I mean, do you see us turning around at all and healing anything? I mean, and fixing the world? I mean, this is not evolution. It's devolution. You know, I mean, it's insane what's going on.
Well, I definitely agree. It's insane with what's going on. The evilness that is all around us. It's to try to undo it all. The only thing that I can say on that is, I have seen people start to think back about what's happening, like how our culture has changed. I call it the meme generation, which was pretty much the baby boomer. The memes. That's when the memes first came out. They were so used to getting everything and never had any appreciation for anything, never had to work for anything, never had to be thankful, or in their own minds, never had to be thankful. You know, Thanksgiving Day was just a day to have a big meal. And never really truly believing in anything. They, you know, except that Santa Claus was going to come and give them gifts. And what, you know, this kind of thing, lost any true meaning of what it was about. And that happened starting there, and then, of course, knowing there was an evil element that wanted to destroy us, destroy this culture. We've talked plenty of times in the past on the show, you know, the Pearl Harbor coming in and just bombing us isn't going to work, because we're going to defend ourselves and we're going to maintain that faith. So they had to go and twist the system. They had to go and manipulate it and take God out of schools and all these other things that little by little have happened. But, I mean, I see a certain awakening, rebirth and whatever, you know, type thing here now, where people are thinking. Now, are they doing this? I guess it's Mike Lindell who talks about it, where he goes out there and says, because something's gone bad, and you say, you're not being a Christian when you say, dear God, Jesus, help me. I promise I never do it again. You know, when you're begging for help or forgiveness for one thing when, in fact, you knew what you did was wrong and whatever else. I think he calls them the pretend Christians, whatever. He says something. That isn't it. But when you truly and genuinely believe and are born again type thing, then that's when it's going to affect you, where it's really going to have an impact on you and those around you kind of thing. And that's the change. That's the change we need. But there's a heck of a lot, and not only because we've allowed – the memes, you know, to corrupt the culture we had here, we opened the door to all the evil corruption to come in the culture. When we opened the doors to say, no, you can be an atheist on the Supreme Court. You can be an atheist and still take an oath to uphold the Constitution when the two things don't go together. And did the majority of people who did that, were they truly doing it out of evilness to do that, or were they saying, well, but we're a free society, and this is or were they not truly thinking they were doing God's work to say we accept everybody? Well, wait a minute. Yeah, you can't be a Christian and an atheist at the same time. This is where we seem to get confused. Yeah. Somehow you think you can be both, and we can't be a Christian nation if we're going to promote atheism. Where does that atheist fit into the culture? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think what it is you're seeing the end times, and you're seeing people really come to grips with understanding now, because the Bible talks about the last, you know, we'll know the season in the end. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know the season. And I think we're understanding the season and the end times, and people are starting, you know, and like you said, people are waking up, wow, and they're really seeing it. But we also see things spinning out of control, time is going by so fast. I mean, look, we talk about it all the time. I mean, look, last week was, last month, I mean, time is just going so fast. Everybody, the world is speeding up, and it's out of control. The weather, cancer up 79% since 1990. I mean, the disease, the earthquakes, we can see it. You see it. We didn't have this 100 years ago, you know? I mean, tornadoes, look at the amount of tornadoes we have every year, the increase. So this is all foretold in the Bible when the end comes. Rumors of wars. I mean, you know, be not troubled, but these things have to come to pass before the end. And look what's going on in Israel. I mean, so all this is coming to a head. You know, the Antichrist is going to come. And people that know that, you know, what's going on, they're saved, truly saved. Like, I'm not saying that doctor right there is not saved. I mean, I'm not saying what I'm just saying he could be preaching false doctrine. And backing up, not wanting to have a discussion kind of bothers me a little bit, because most people that are Christians, they like, you know, it's good to talk about the Bible if you're having a show about that, and talk about God's word and learn, because there's people out there listening that can be saved from people discussing these issues. Well, you know, I don't want to argue, of course not. But, you know, so I think you see the end times. I think that's what you see, the final season, because that's what I really think has happened. I think I'm going to keep trying to save our republic and the Constitution and preach, and, you know, evil flourishes when good men do nothing. You know, I'm going to keep doing that, but also preach the gospel, and I'll always stand up for Christ, you know, put the full armor of God on, you know, so that's where I stand. But, you know, we can't save the world. It's going down. That's what God says. You know, when they peace, 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 sudden, you know, that's it, destruction. That's what the book of Isaiah says. So, you know, I mean, but pray for everybody. Try to win as many people as you can over to Christ, win their souls, and, you know, go. And God's in control. He's in control. So if God wants to save us and give us a reprieve, he's going to do it. We're not going to, you know, God knows what's going to happen. So we just got to be, you know, good servants and do the right thing, you know, good ambassadors of Christ.
Well, I keep saying, is God going to continue to bless America, or is God sending us a loud message? Karen, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to get you going and then cut you off there.
Oh, no, that's okay. It's a very interesting conversation. And although I am Jewish, I do not believe that I will ever go to a synagogue again, and I think this is the way a lot of the Christians also think. They're not going to go to church anymore when you see your leaders doing things that are totally destructive, and then you realize that they're doing it because of money, because they're getting paid to do it. And the easiest example of that is at the border. So I believe that the people have turned to Christ, they've turned to God, they've turned to Judaism and Christianity, but not by going to a temple or a church. They're doing it like myself. If I want to have a conversation with God, I'll talk to him myself. I don't need a middleman to tell me. I can read the English version of the Torah. I can read the Bible. If I want to have you know, if I need an answer to something, I'll find it myself. I am not going to turn to some person. And although I agree with Dr. Talbert, we have to make our message a lot more positive. And it's extremely difficult. So the only way that I can figure to do that is just to continue to ask them questions that they can't answer, because they are evil people. And I think that that's probably the hardest thing for most people to understand, is the level of evilness that these people will go to and on purpose and just be totally immersed in evil. And it's hard when you're working with evil people and you know what they're doing and you know that everything that they're saying is a lie and everything that they're doing is a lie, and all they're doing is looking at you and lying. And you can see that. You can feel it. And the only thing that we can do is turn away and question them, because with the top core of people, I don't see how we come together. I really, honestly don't see how we come together. And I know that we the people have to come together. But I hate to call them the ruling class, but that's really what they are. They are the self-proclaimed rulers. I cannot believe anything they say. I cannot. And Johnson to me is a perfect example. His intent may have been wonderful. Who did he pick? Kevin McCarthy's whole staff are his advisors. So did we expect that there was going to be a change of anything? No, nothing was going to change. I don't know how many times he throws God in the conversation. He's listening to evil people, and he's following what evil people are doing. And this bill that they just passed is a perfect example. He knows full well that he gave them all of the money to do all of the evil things that they said they were going to do. He knew full well he was doing that. And to think that he wasn't, or to think that all of a sudden they were going to have a moment in praying to God that was going to change, there was no way. The minute he sat down with these evil people, he became part of the plan and part of the agenda. And there's no way around it. And the only saving grace that I see is if we, the people, are smart enough to get not vote for these people again. But I don't see that happening either, because too many of us are enticed by money, and we're enticed by what they're going to give us. And our legislator in Northwest Florida, Mr. Do Nothing Done, is a perfect example. He just sent out an email of talking how wonderful this funding bill was and how he got money.
I saw part of that.
Where is that money coming from? The air? Yeah, basically it is. It's coming from the printing press. So they have no desire to fix America. They have a desire to make America into part of a totalitarian communist state where everybody has the same thing, everybody lives the same way, everybody is wrapped in the same area, and everybody gets the same thing, and that makes it easier for them because they're the rulers and they're smarter and they know better than everybody else. And we've got the stupid people that have gone through bad education and will never, they're not going to get out of it. If we could get 30% of the kids out of public school, I would say we have a chance. But until that happens, I don't see it happening, because this generation is going to grow up. And what are they going to do? They're going to say, me, I, and the government will take care of me. So, I mean, this is it's a very bad situation. And I know in my heart that I'm supposed to be nice. But it's hard. It's very difficult to listen to them lie, just lie and lie and lie, and to know. But once the door is closed, they're all doing the same thing. So like I said, the only saving grace that I see is if we can get rid of these people and then have a leader, which is why I favor Trump, and only for one reason, because I really believe he will do something. The rest of them, they'll talk. They'll talk to get elected, and they'll do nothing, because that's what they have always done, and it's easier. And if America becomes part of Mexico and Canada, they'll be real happy, and then they won't have to think about it, because we'll all be part of Mexico and Canada, and the cartels will run the show. And I think that's where we're headed, and I think that's what we're doing, and it's very sad, and it even hurts to say that. And also, I mean, I know, from my age, I'm not going to be around to see the whole turnover. And that's even sadder, knowing when you can see that something is happening and you know the consequences of what it is. And, I mean, all I can do is what we're doing now, alerting people. But how many people are alerted? How many people will really vote out? I mean, here we have this Do Nothing Done as our representative in Northwest Florida, and nobody's running against him. So how do we even get rid of him? We can't. And this is,
well,
this
is that's the part that's equally disgusting. But let me admit, I was talking about this at the beginning of the show, and I was going to go back to you on this, excuse me, the Defend Florida group. I mean, I'm sure you and I are on most of these calls every week. And a while back, you and I both said we need to be more aggressive in pushing back on this. You got to call them out. You got to shame them. You can't play nice with the evilness. And they push back on us. But do you notice a little bit of a difference in their tone in the last couple of weeks? It's like, here, you went and did everything right. You were the civilized person. You followed the process. They played the game. They acted like they cared. They acted like they listened. And what did they do?
Yeah. Nothing. They didn't listen. They refused to listen. And they did exactly what we knew, you and I knew, from dealing with them. Nothing has changed. So what can we do to make a change? Again, locally, get rid of these people that you are voting for. Here we have Florida, a red state, voting to destroy Florida and bring in more illegals and restrict Florida. And if I could talk about another topic, I would be happy to. So let me know when I can do that. Because Rick Scott is part of this. And it makes me crazy to think how they have elevated him. And nobody remembers what he did when he was governor of Florida.
Well,
and all of a sudden, Marco Rubio has a what? An epiphany? Oh, my goodness, they're destroying the border. Do you remember what you did? And, yes, I truly believe that people can turn around, but do I trust them? No, and I don't want to give them a position of extra power. They're fine where they are. I mean, can you imagine? Well, don't let me get started. I really would like to, when you're up to another topic, I would like there's something that's very important that we have to talk about.
Okay. Well, I see John out there waiting. Let me go ahead and let him chime in. And Dr. Tolbert, with everything we has been said, anything you'd like to add to, again, try to help save this country, say a prayer, and definitely everybody out there needs to be saying a prayer for this country and for the world and for humanity, because right now we're self-destructive. We're destroying ourselves, and do we still have a prayer? The only thing we have is a prayer at this point. So, Dr. Tolbert, anything you want to comment on?
No,
then I'll go to John.
I'd like to have people read Luke 23:39 and 43. I'd like them to read Revelations 21:1-7. I'd like for them to read Luke 16:20-25, Revelations 20:11-15. I'd like them to read Philippians 1:23-24, and I'd like them to understand purgatory and the land of paradise. And the thief that sat next to Jesus said, would you protect me? And Jesus, no, you will come with me. There's no argumentativeness. It's just a blessing. I believe that we have to just lay our hands upon people, that the grace and the glory of God. I know what Karen is saying is absolutely. We cannot be of a certain denomination. We have to just tell people. Quoting scriptures is what people do. I'm different than that. I write books about scriptures. I do things. But my teaching is what God gives me inside me. So when I speak, you don't want to believe me? That is your own impression. I only teach what God does. God gives me an assignment. People don't believe it. The fivefold ministry. I cannot go for them, but they don't believe in the fivefold. Some people don't believe in the Trinity. They believe that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are separate. They don't believe that I think it, I speak it, and I do it. So every person that has their own instructions, they have their own teaching, they have their own words, don't go against another person. Only teach what you know. What God gave you. Let the joyful glory of God that indwells within you. Your assignment is to teach what you know. The fact that I have 2 masters and 2 doctorate degrees and PhDs and 4 volumes and I teach in 45 countries is not relevant. What is relevant that you bring the Holy Ghost back into the United States of America and that you and I together as one body of Christ, Sally, change the direction of the United States. We're going to change it because in the old days, people that were students were in the middle and people on the outside were coming in and becoming the doctor. Well, now we're no longer on the outside. We're now up above. We're looking down from the heavens or from the ceiling or from the higher floors and we're looking down upon the students. We're looking down upon the people that don't know. We're looking down and we're dropping and teaching and explaining. I have thousands and thousands of people that are following and teaching. I'm on their shows in 30 countries that people call upon me to teach, and I have one person online that disagrees with me. That's pretty good for 40,000-50,000 people. I only have one disagreement. So God bless and just continue. I'll stay monitoring.
I would say the world. Because you know, since man's creation, humans have been exalting themselves against God by choosing to do their own way. You know, how, you know, is there only one way that works eternally, and every human being will be led to see his weakness and know that it is by grace that we are saved. And to quote, counter that, what you just said, you do things your own way and teach your own way. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death.
And there's a way that it writes to a man through God, through the book of Habakkuk, the calling in your assignment, that leads you to the glorification and the messenger to the entire world. And I just happen to be that person. So continue your negative or your positive. Continue your believing and sponsoring, and God will joyfully.
You're that person. You said the book called you out. So you're that person. Where are you foretold in the Bible? Every prophet is foretold. Where are you foretold then?
I'm a messenger and apostle of the fivefold ministry, and the apostleship is different than what your belief is, because I'm not going to get into what you think or what I think. I'm only going to tell you what I am and what I'm doing, and I love you, God loves you, and continue to do your grace and the glory. And remember, anger should never be part of us. We should only be talking in a positive, loving manner. Thank you.
I agree with you about the loving manner and being positive, but we should also always preach proper, you know, the doctrine the right way. You know, never teach false doctrine. And, you know, exalting the world, I'm of the world. That's, you know, I think God calls us, supposed to call us out of the world, actually. So,
well, and, you know, it's kind
I preach
of interesting
the word of God.
When I look back, it's okay. So, and I ask all the time, dear Lord, tell me, what do you want me to do? What's the message here? Because I openly admit I get confused by what I'm seeing out there and what we're supposed to be versus what we have become. And what is my role in all this? What can I do? What are the options for me to do this? And that's been a big reason why I've continued to do this show over the years. People time and time again would say something about you could try to sponsor, do whatever to try to get money off the show. I said that I'm not here to do this. This is a way that I can reach out to people to share information, to try to get people to do the right thing, if you want to call it that, whatever the right thing is, and not harm each other and destroy each other the way we're doing today. So this is kind of what it's like. This is what I can do now. Maybe there's going to be a point down the road where I can do something different. I'm not a wealthy person. I can't write in the sky and try to get a message across to everybody and those kind of things. I don't have that kind of money, but what is something that I can contribute to try to share the message? And to me, so much of it, in this, as Karen has said many times, it's the teaching. The teaching across the board, it's obviously the teaching of the Bible, but there's also the teaching of the truth and the history and decency to people. I don't think you have to be a Christian to believe you shouldn't kill each other. But we've allowed a culture to go out there and say nobody's responsible for anything. You can do whatever you want. You can harm whatever you want. All under the guise of protecting someone else's rights, the Black Lives Matters and all this other kind of stuff. You know, the Black Lives Matters group was out there killing black people. Would somebody explain to me how that makes sense? And just the various pieces.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I try to educate and have the discussion and challenge people to take action. That's because we do have to remove the evildoers in public office. And whether we want to call them something negative like evildoers, I don't know what else to call. When you're out there openly causing harm to other people that you in fact took an oath to protect, and that's the fact, whether you took an oath to protect or not to, the fact that you're doing evil to, intentionally doing evil to others for selfish reasons and whatever else, there's something wrong. A mother who steals a loaf of bread to feed her kids, that's a little bit different than going in and smashing in the jewelry cases and stealing the jewelry and all this other stuff and the other true evilness of what these people do. Stealing a loaf of bread to feed your kids, I have some sympathy and I can understand and definitely forgive. I don't know how easily I can forgive those who went and killed the black security officer that was in that one store and all this other stuff. That's the evilness of it all. It's really very, very despicable. to me.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
So to that degree, what was the message I was given? Okay, this is what I can do. This is something I can do. I go to different here meetings and events and things that are to share information, bring information, try to have a discussion with people, try to it's not to change your opinion per se, but to educate. Because many of these people, they've been so brainwashed. When you ask them a question, well, what did Trump do to prove to you he was a racist? What exactly? Don't, just because the media told you that doesn't mean anything. So would you give me some information? And then you ask them other questions. Well, what about this? Is it really a good thing when the cars all get stuck on the highway in the electric vehicles? You have to make them reach the conclusion on their own, which isn't always easy. You can't just strictly say, here's what it is, here's what the rules are, and this is what you need to do, because they've already been so far gone the other way. You have to lead them to the truth and let them, oh, look at that. An electric car really doesn't last very long, and you get stuck in the middle of in the ice, and you can't get anywhere, and you can't heat the car. You know, the various things that happen. Oops. Looks like Karen had to drop. I don't know if she's going to get back in here or not. Okay, let's hope Karen's able to join back in because she had some other stuff she wanted to go over. And that type of thing. So you have
to... Hey, Sally, what are you referring to? What are you referring to when you say you evildoers and everything, you can't go where... what are you talking about? Are you talking about going to church?
There's plenty of evildoers in church, but I'm talking about the people that go out there. We have a government that allowed a group of illegal invaders to run over our National Guard and for them to have to stand there and take it. There's something evil when you would allow the enemy to come in and destroy your own country, to take over. Well, there's something evil about allowing those squatters to take ownership of that lady's house and you put her in jail. That's evil to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're arresting the woman who owns the house because she changed the locks on her house. And now they're arresting her while they continue to live there in her house. There's something evil. This is the evil element. Definitely greed is the root of all evil. Greed and power, the root of all evil. And whatever it is in some people's heads that makes them think that they should own the world or should dictate to the world, what makes them think they are the gods? They're not the gods, but they act like it. Those are the illness. And, you know, this type of thing. Let me go ahead and let John get in here. He's been waiting. And then, Karen, I do see you back out there. I saw that you had something happen to you, a drop. John, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So what are your thoughts on Easter, evilness, saving this country? What are you thinking tonight?
Well, we got a big boost today. Donald Trump won all of his cases.
All of them or a lot of them?
All of them.
Oh, okay.
Now, there's some yet to be done, but they all see the handwriting on the wall now. This was supposed to be a big win for Letitia James.
Yep.
She lost everything today. That's how
and
good
that's,
of a day it was.
Yeah, and I'll kind of go along with that to say, isn't that where you what gives you faith? It's like even with here these evildoers, because that's, again, another example of an evildoer, abusing the power and authority they were given to cause harm to another person, but because he didn't cave in, he stood his ground, they wanted to try and chase him off the campaign trail.
Trump's amazing.
And he
does not lose.
Nope,
he came back today, big time.
Yep, yep.
And try this for size. He was supposed to come up with $450 million in assets by midnight tonight, or they were going to seize everything in New York State that he owned, including his airplane. This went to an appeals court, and they said, we're going to drop the amount that he has to pay from 454 million to 174 million. And we're going to increase the time he has to get it to 10 more days. And that burned Letitia James's ass so goddamn bad. She went crazy.
No profanity.
She went crazy.
I'm sure she did. I knew I had heard a very brief clip that the amount was all reduced and something. I think they even said he said he was going to have it in cash for them in whatever days or something like
right.
that.
Right.
You know, Trump was going to respond back. So and now it's
well,
and
he
then
had another victory
into,
after that one.
And which one was that?
He owns a company called Truth Social.
Oh yeah.
And after.
Yep.
And
yep,
after the ruling,
saying.
After the ruling on his reduction, that stock went through the roof.
Well,
so
the merger, trading, yeah, trading at pub. He was also approved to trade it publicly, a public traded company.
Yeah.
So some of that was changed out there too. So yeah. So everything they've done to take him down has just made him stronger, and now he's even wealthier.
That is exactly the truth.
And
they
is
run,
that not divine intervention? Do we call that divine intervention to get there?
Oh, well, we won today for a change.
Mm-hmm.
And justice was done. And justice is going to be done in the future. And he's beating the crap out of Joe Biden. Who
yeah.
isn't Joe Biden is demented.
Well,
he doesn't even have a brain left.
Well, it's not only that. I mean, he was never too swift to begin with, but he's again. I'll go back. While he professes to be this Catholic, great Catholic Christian, whatever, over the years,
if he's
time
a
and
Catholic,
time again,
I'm Santa Claus.
He's been more evil than
he doesn't believe in. He doesn't believe in any God. I've seen
I've seen
non-believers, and he's a non-believer from the word go. All he believes in is three things: lie, cheat, and steal. Because that's
well,
all he ever does.
Yeah.
His soul
yeah.
is going to rot in hell.
That's actually
hell.
The point. The true evilness of him, and of course the evilness of what his family has done. And again, I guess I'm going to say with what's happened with Trump today, these are things that give me some hope that God is still watching, God's still on our side, trying
well,
to help us out. Some.
That's
we have
why
to,
I'm
we,
telling you about it, so you have
yeah,
some hope,
exactly.
and you're not feeling bad because this was
exactly.
a huge victory.
Well, I
totally Trump's
agree.
A damn genius, okay?
Yeah.
Trump's a damn genius.
Well,
I
seem to remember him kind of misstating some things from the Bible, but I'm not going to try to judge. I definitely am not going to judge on that one. But the whole point is he seems to be a person who genuinely believes and genuinely cares about this country. Now, that's not to say I think everything he does is right and whatever else and whatever, you know. But I do believe he's got that core fundamental belief in God and in this country.
Well,
and he's not willing to
save this country.
Yeah. Well, I've said...
All he has to do is win in November, and he is way ahead in the polls.
Yes. But that's the other part where right now with what's happening today, if we get this to help rally the people together again, the Americans together, because the Americans have to understand that we are definitely going to have God's blessings because there's these other people, the loons out there, evildoers, loons, whatever you want to call them, they're not going to give up. And we better be saying some prayers and we better be taking the appropriate action to protect and defend for whatever may happen when he gets elected. Again, assuming he, especially with the news today, more and more reason to think he's not going to be in jail, more and more reason to think he is going to be elected.
Exactly.
But these evildoers, evildoers aren't going
to
just sit
well, the
there.
The people that are trying to stop him are the evildoers.
That's correct. The
and
ones
that
try,
is
the same
entire
ones who did the insurrection.
Democratic Party.
Yeah. Well, it's not just them. You have a uniparty up there. But, I mean, this goes back to the insurrection. The evildoers, which were many Republicans in there, too, was both, Cheney being one of them, the evildoers of what they did with the so-called insurrection. And now it's all coming out that what they really did, too. They are being caught red-handed on what they did.
Yes,
so,
they are.
Call it divine intervention or determination of people. So this
I
is, want to
see
it
the
really
look on their faces when Trump pardons all those people.
Well, that's
after
going to be
the
other
week.
We know that's going to happen. Yep.
Huh?
Yep. Okay. I totally agree. When he's going to do that. Navarro, the other guy that's in jail right now, that is totally, total disgrace. And who knows, maybe with this other stuff happening, maybe some of these courts are going to start reversing some of their insanity of what they've done. I'm not going to totally hold my breath for all of them, but we do see something happening. We do see some divine intervention or whatever you want to call it, people having a strong will and a core belief in the right things and good over evil, and who are not surrendering to the evil that keeps popping up all over the place that we are seeing happen, the evilness being driven by those in some very high positions. And, of course, Biden doesn't truly know what he's doing. He's doing whatever. He's a puppet up there. Let me go ahead and get some very good
Biden
info.
Biden is
so,
demented.
Thanks. Yep.
Biden's demented. He can't even think
well,
anymore.
Well, he is. They've openly admitted that, even though they still play games. He's not mentally able to stand trial, but he's mentally able to run a country. Okay, I mean, there's no sense to that. So, hold that thought.
He's chosen because he's completely evil, and he will do.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Well,
he's
a pathological
Trump.
Liar, a sociopath, a pervert, everything, because
there
of everything he's done.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. They had him already entrapped. Obama knew about his dealings and everything else, knew about the money. So they knew that they have him under control that because of what he's done there. So hold that thought. I'll try to get back to you. Yeah, we got about 23, 24 minutes. I'm not going to be able to run over too late tonight. Karen had some stuff she wanted to talk about that was pretty key, but great info, excellent info. We'll continue that discussion some more next week too, John. So don't hang up yet.
I'd like to hear Karen in a more up mood because she sounded down tonight.
I think this will.
And
this
that's
will
why
definitely...
I mentioned the big victories by Trump.
Yeah.
Because it's
most
not
definitely.
A downtime.
And that's true. And to be perfectly honest, I work during the day, so I've only heard bits and pieces of the news. I haven't really – I've probably throughout the whole day listened to heard about 15, 20 minutes worth of news. I really haven't heard much today. So I am happy to hear this as well. So with that being said, let me go ahead and get Karen back on here. And, Tave, I do see you out there. We'll try to get you in there too. We're running out of time, but – I had told Karen I'd give her some time on this other. And we can run a few minutes over, but I just can't be running over too late tonight. But Karen, you there?
Yes, I am. And that is wonderful good news on the Trump front. That is always good news. And I do believe that he will be exonerated in all of his cases because they're all made up of garbage. In the meantime, they have not stopped taking aim at the people. And as soon as that disgusting bill was signed, giving them all the money in the world that they needed and wanted, the DOJ announced a national red flag initiative, and it is called, hold on, I've got it, the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. There are 21 states in the country, of which Florida is one of them. You can go to their website and see if your state is one of those states. They are putting resources on this website and allocating grant money for all states so that they can train them to go after and eliminate due process Actually, they're eliminating about six amendments. They made this law, the DOJ, they have no right making it, but they are going to train the states in how to go after the people who they consider high-risk people without due process and take away their guns. And the way that that works would be I could call them up, Sally, and I could say, I think Sally Baptist said something awful on the radio today, and I think she's a risk to herself and others, and you go take her guns. The police will show up at your door, and they will take your guns. This is a huge risk to the military, especially anybody that comes back and says, I think I have PTSD. And all of those people that filled out a survey when you went to the doctor and they asked you, how did you feel? Do you feel depressed? Do you feel better today than yesterday? Do you feel you might harm yourself? This is a survey that everyone goes to the doctor and it always gets filled out unless you refuse to fill it out. And then that is part of this database of which they will be monitoring us on a constant basis to find out when, and we will be reported to this new initiative, the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. We can be reported there, and they will send out the police to take away our guns. So this is how all the dictators always start. They always start by figuring out a way to take away the people's guns. I certainly hope that there will be several organizations that will sue the DOJ. This is not, like I said, this did not go through Congress. So this is not a law. It's a rule. It's a rule coming from DOJ, just like the rules that come from the EPA that are telling the car manufacturers that they can't build combustion engines anymore, even though we all know combustion engines are necessary and we need them. So I want to thank Rick Scott because he is the one that instituted the red flag laws in Florida.
Yeah.
And all of the legislators that voted against them all of a sudden got kicked out of office. Mike Hill was one of them. He was a great legislator when they got rid of him. They lied about him. And this is what they do. So just because Trump won does not mean that these people ever go to sleep. They never go to sleep. They are constantly figuring out ways to screw us, harm us, whatever you want to say. And this is their latest ploy to do that. So people need to be on the lookout. You need to contact your legislator and tell them that while we still have the one-seat majority in the House, imagine that, idiots got rid of George Santos. You know why they got rid of him? Not because of what he did, and he wasn't even tried yet. They got rid of him because he was 99% voting with MAGA. So they got rid of him.
Yep.
So now the House is down to a one-person majority, and one person more will leave, so the House will flip and become a red house, and that's all we need, because then we'll have a red house, a red senate, a blue house, blue senate, and a blue president, and we will really be screwed. So right now, the only thing we have is the House, and even though the Senate will never say you can't do that, people need to sue the DOJ or look for a lawsuit, petition, whatever, maybe go on the NRA's website or anyone else, that the Heritage Foundation, and find out what they are doing to combat this horrific law, which has horrific rule, which has no business being part of anything. And I was listening to Glenn Beck, caller called in, and he said, I'm going to write this down, folks. They are in violation of Article 2, Article 4, Article 5, Article 7, Article 8, and Amendment 14. So they have violated almost all the articles in the Constitution, and they don't care. So, again, like I said before, I know I'm supposed to be positive, and I know I'm supposed to be nice to these people, but how can you be nice to them when they are so evil? And the only thing that I can think of is that we need to sound the alarm. We need to tell the people. And I really believe that Rick Scott is a wolf in sheep's clothing, and he shouldn't be the president of the Senate either. So, I mean, this is a – people need to go back and look at his history and what he did to Florida. He's the one that started the – oh, to make matters worse, I forgot. This resolution resource center is an – guess what? It's going to be an NGO and do a public-private partnership with the federal government. So we're going to pay for it. Isn't that nice? Aren't we lucky?
We'll have to have some more shows talking about these NGOs and these public-private partnerships because they sound so nice, but they're such they are the enemy, and it's our government that's funding them. It's just totally against us. I want to go back to the thing with Rick Scott real quick because Rick Scott, he's out there co-sponsoring something to stop this thing with the WHO, the World Health Organization, agreement. And that the Congress is supposed to be the ones that oversees or approves these treaties and all the other improper stuff. But, and this is where, going back to what Karen is saying, I never voted for Rick Scott. I didn't vote for him for governor. I didn't vote for him for senator. And I'm not going to vote for him for senator again because he truly is an evildoer. He was part of the largest multi-billion-dollar Medicare scam. And, I mean, that's how he got his money. Yes, technically he's a veteran, but that doesn't mean he's a good person. Doesn't mean he's not evil. He is evil, and now, but he's playing up this thing with the WHO, I think, trying to help his campaign because he is up for re-election. And I don't know. I have to go look and see who's really going against him because I haven't seen a whole lot. But I won't vote for Rick Scott. I don't care who's against. I will skip the vote. I won't vote for anybody. Or I'll vote for a third party or somebody else out there. I will not vote for Rick Scott. And some people are going to be mad. That you need to have the Republicans in there. I don't need Republicans like Rick Scott. You know, they do one or two things right. In fact, I really don't know. How did Rick Scott vote on this bill? I'm not sure. I haven't checked the senators out there. I knew that done nothing that voted for it.
I have to go and check, but I believe he and Rubio both voted against it. And okay. Rubio is another one.
Yeah, but Rick Scott is up for re-election this time. He shouldn't be re-elected. We need to get him out of there, which is the challenge of trying to get rid of these people, especially because he's got so much evil money, dirty money as far as I'm concerned, because of how he got his wealth. These health walk-in care centers, whatever it was, and then all the massive Medicare fraud that was involved in it. So Rick Scott is definitely an evildoer, too. It's disgusting. What was the other thing that was on that, on these NGOs and these public-private partnerships? This is where we got to educate people. We got to somehow talk about this red flag stuff. This is where I think there may have been, it was maybe on the Glenn Beck thing, somebody, a Cuban woman called in and said something. This is what they did to us in Cuba, people. Americans, would you wake up? And that was really about all I heard of it. I don't know how much it was to it.
Yes.
But we're going to be hearing the true immigrants, the immigrants who fled true oppression to this country, maybe the ones who have to really educate a few people, have to knock a few people upside the head, you know, figuratively, and say, do you not realize what you're doing to yourself? You're going to have them disarm you. Why do you? And they're going to do this. Hopefully, Judicial Watch is going to be out there doing something. And I think they would be one of the first to take action. But also at the state level, people better be contacting these people at the state level that they're doing this. Of course, I'm going to contact some of my locals to see if they even know what's happening. I'm guessing they probably won't. And locally, the sheriff that we have here, I wouldn't trust this sheriff with any of that stuff. So we got to get a different sheriff in this county and stuff like that too. So people better start protecting yourself from the other sources. Go ahead, Karen.
That's a good vetting question when you're meeting your sheriff and they're coming to speak to you and give you how wonderful they are and how many kids they have and how many colleges they went to and how terrific they are and what churches they go to. It does not matter if you can't ask them, are you going to participate in this new resource center so that you can take the guns away from anybody? And that's really what it becomes. It's not somebody who's criminally insane. It's anybody. All you have to do is make a demand, and that will happen. So that's a vetting question that we have to talk to the people that are running for office and see if they even know about it, because if they don't know about it,
yeah, most of them aren't going to know. Well, that's the other thing. Most of them aren't going to know about this. However, and don't forget what happened, wasn't it just last week? It's like, well, wait a minute, illegals have a constitutional right. Well, first of all, illegals don't have constitutional rights. People wake up. But the illegals have a constitutional right to own a gun. Is there, I mean, talk about insanity and evilness. If the illegals have a right to own a gun, they're going to take our guns from us while they give them to the illegals.
Yes, in New York, that's what they're doing. That's what they're going to do. They're going to give the guns to the illegals while they come and get us. And they're sick in New York.
Well, next week we'll take a much deeper dive into this discussion. I'm going to go ahead and do a quick round table here. It looks like Tave has dropped off. I'm sorry. Didn't mean for him to drop off there. Do a quick wrap-up here for anybody who wants to have any last comments, and then have Dr. Tolbert close with a prayer for us. And we definitely all have to keep praying for this country. We've got to the guiding light that helps you figure out what to do to save our country and to save each other, whatever, you know, what it takes. And everybody may have a somewhat slightly different view of that, but we have to work in the same direction. We have to try to save this country. So with that being said, Karen, one quick wrap-up from you, and then we'll go to John and then Joe.
Well, we have to come together, and there is no other way for us to solve anything if we don't. We have to pay attention to what goes on locally. We've got to make sure we get the right people in office. And there's four sentences that I want everybody to remember. Everything is connected. Nothing is random. Everything has a plan, and all plans are based on lies. They're lying all the time. How do we know? They're talking. So have a very happy Easter. And it's time to put our feelings aside and come together for our country. Otherwise, we have no country. And that's, we're very close to that right now.
Amen to that one. John, any quick comments
I
you want?
I want to mention that the half-wit in the vice presidential office is now ordering around the country in the Middle East that's going to destroy the Muslims over there. And she's warning them, don't attack. This is a real half-wit female.
Yeah.
She doesn't know anything, and she's half crazy. And she's ordering around Israel. She is godless, and the party of the Democrats are totally godless.
Yep.
Trump stands in opposition to a totally godless party, and they are now standing against Israel and Trump, and telling them what to do. This is how evil this party is. Keep your eye on how they're treating Israel, because that's
definitely
all blowing up in their faces.
Yep.
You have to believe what Trump said, if you don't mind, and that was anybody, any Jew that votes for the Democrats hates Israel and hates their religion, and I agree with him 100%.
That is a mystery why they do that. Why do they vote for a Democrat?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll try to answer that question. We'll try to answer that question next week. We're running out of time here, but thank you, John. Good info. And we will continue that discussion next week. Joe, any last words or thoughts for this holiday, Easter resurrection?
Well, I I think pretty much I say it all the time. So the only way we've had a plan in place to restore the republic and how to go about it, to create your local assemblies, to create lawful de jure government. It's been re-inhabited, the republic, anyway. And we've been over that on my shows many, many times. So, you know, you just got to go back in the archive and go, or you go to the republicofuniteststates.org and look it up. You got the Northwest Ordinance there. You got the Jay Treaty there. You got letter of intent that was filed with The Hague and has international standing. So, you know, all the stuff we've been over. So it's up to us, the people, to do it, go locally, start locally, start with your local sheriff and form your local assemblies, county by county, town by town, city by city. But it just seems like, you know, people are easier to get together every Sunday and go to a football game. You can get 60,000 people every Sunday in stadiums all across the country to go and pay to go yell at a bunch of men running around in tights, you know, at a game that's rigged, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the question that I ask in for what we do individually. Now, I don't have to worry about a football team right around here, but there's definitely plenty of them in Florida. But I would have no problem if I could get just a few people. You don't have to have a lot. It's not like you have thousands of people. A few people to go to a football game or some event, some stupid event that just is. What's more important, a Super Bowl or your country? And if you can't try to reach out to people doing that kind of stuff, and then of course going to public meetings, and definitely getting, when it comes to these constitutional sheriffs, we got to clean up the sheriff's office. But I mean, what exactly do you do when it comes to, like, I don't know who you're. Thank goodness you guys have the guy Robinson running for governor. That guy is great. I love listening to him.
Yeah.
Thank God for him being there. But I mean, when it comes to your local sheriff, anything going on there? What are you doing locally to try to clean up the people that are in office, and get people off their dead desk watching? You know, instead of getting drunk and having a beer, just like the Romans in the Colosseum.
Trust me, I'm setting my hooks in, and the sheriff actually is peeling away. He's coming to my side, actually. So God's intervention here, because he's arguing with the county commissioners on a lot of things. So there's a divide there. So and I noticed that someone, when I was campaigning, someone put his sign next to my sign in a lot of locations. And then the other signs are like all across the street, you know, like the little crowd that's stuck together, you know.
Yep.
So maybe I can get my sheriff starting to come around. I met with him a couple years ago one time and told him what the deal was. So, but also I filed a lawsuit against the ADL and the GOP down here in North Carolina. So
good.
We'll go over that maybe sometime. So slander and libel and election interference. So a bunch of stuff. I filed an injunction too. So I'm going after them, but I'm trying to get grassroots, organizing together here. And trust me, we will grow here in Rockingham County and expand out. North Carolina hopefully can be a staple state throughout the country here, like Texas, and maybe we can get Florida on board and, you know, a couple other states, Tennessee, stuff like that, from what I hear, that are got a lot of patriots that want to restore our republic.
Yep. I think we do definitely have a lot of people who want to restore it. We just have to help motivate them and help lead the way because many just don't seem – they want to do something, they just don't know what to do kind of thing. So
yeah.
With that being said, and thank you for that info, we'll definitely talk more about that next week as well. I'll try to do a long show next week. We'll see if I can figure a way to get 3 hours in. With that being said, thank you so much, Dr. Tolbert, for what you were saying and sharing. And would you please close out the show with a prayer?
Yes, and I'd like to open with that I did an audio recording in the 30 minutes, and I posted it in many different places. I got one text message from NH totally agreeing with me, and I got an email from JW totally agreeing with the other person. So that's one-on-one. I got 7,242 responses through Messenger, Twitter, and everybody thanking us for our teaching tonight of the 30 minutes. So I will now go into prayer. Father, the grace and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we celebrate the day of resurrection, Father, Lord, we just thank you that the United States of America will become born again, and the grace and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ will indwell within them, and they will open the door accordingly. Father God, we raise our hands into the heavens, and we call upon you to open the doors for all the nations. Father God, tonight we had 19 countries respond on the teaching and the understanding of the grace and the glory of the resurrection and being born again, and the teaching they will be doing on Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday throughout the world. Father God, we thank the listeners tonight that are sitting there and just listening to what we say, and agreeing or disagreeing is not important. What is important, they find their direction. What is important, that they become born again. We thank you, Father God, for the closing of the show this night, and that Sally's opening the doors throughout the world accordingly. We thank you for the blessings and the comments from all the speakers tonight. It's the positive things that we learn, Father God, from everybody. We have to believe and understanding accordingly. Even though, Father God, I spent 2 weeks of research, wrote 25 pages of my teaching from scriptures, there are people that see it accordingly, and there are people that see it differently. But, Father God, we know that you have put the blessing upon all of us, regardless the way we, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. We will definitely tune in again and have a discussion next week. And for now, please, please say a prayer for America. Say a prayer for the world. Say a prayer for all humanity. And God bless America. Good night, everyone.
Amen. Amen. Amen.